the Public News Service Daily Newscast for January the 4th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson is in the group of Senate Republicans planning to challenge the certification of Joe Biden's presidential election victory. Our Mike Mullen reports one political expert predicts it won't change the outcome, but could harm democracy.
Johnson and nearly a dozen other members of the Senate have vowed to fight the results when Wednesday's vote takes place. Matt Barreto of the UCLA Voting Rights Project says because the House has to vote as well, the plan isn't likely to succeed.
They are attempting to use centuries-old loopholes to try to at least make one final stand.
And Barreto thinks it's fairly clear not enough Senate Republicans to make a difference will go along. He warns giving unfounded claims of voter fraud a platform could convince some people to never acknowledge the presidential election results and call the whole system into question for future votes. Senator Johnson says his group is protecting the views of voters who don't think Biden's victory is legitimate.
Prior to the certification in Congress, Trump sought a recount in Wisconsin, but that and other legal challenges were unsuccessful in overturning Biden's win in the Badger State. The Washington Post reports President Trump urged fellow Republican Brad Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State, to find enough votes to overturn his defeat in an extraordinary one-hour phone call Saturday that legal scholars described as a flagrant abuse of power and a potential criminal act. The Post obtained a recording of the conversation in which Trump alternately berated Raffensperger, tried to flatter him, begged him to act, and then threatened him with vague criminal consequences if the Secretary of State refused to pursue Trump's false claims. At one point, Trump warned Raffensperger he was taking a big risk. Public transit ridership has plummeted to historic lows across the U.S., but some cities are pushing to sustain public transit services and improve infrastructure for life after COVID-19.
Studies have found neighborhoods with higher numbers of essential workers, as well as black and brown residents, continue to rely on public transit during the pandemic, and about 85% of riders lack access to a car. To keep transportation access equitable and safe for residents, Charlotte Mayor Pro Tem Julie Eisel says cities will have to find new ways to pay for public transit.
The sources of funding of revenue for transportation have been going away. It's been primarily the gas tax, and that really has flattened out. It's even worse during COVID.
She says Charlotte is considering increasing its sales tax, along with leveraging state and federal funding to help pay for a 10-year transportation plan. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
This is PNS. With a third COVID-19 wave looming, a new report identifies critical priorities for children's well-being in Vermont. Mary Sherman reports for Soundbite Source.
According to the Annie E. Casey Foundation, 11% of Vermont families with children report not having enough to eat, and 10% say they have slightly or no confidence in their ability to make the next rent or mortgage payment on time. While a second relief package was signed this week, Sarah Teal with Voices for Vermont's Children says the pandemic is far from over. She notes that inequality grew during the 10 years it took to recover from the last recession.
A decade is the majority of a child's technical childhood. So we don't have time to wait another decade for this recession, which is projected to be deeper than the last, to resolve itself.
The report also indicates the precarious health of some Vermont families. 5% don't have health insurance and 22% said they felt depressed or hopeless in recent weeks. Broken down by race, the report shows how current and historic policies have driven deep inequities in families' access to resources.
And since the pandemic began, many state and federal policies have been enacted to prevent renters from being evicted, but there's also an initiative for struggling homeowners with certain types of mortgages to avoid foreclosure. The federal government has extended the period for homeowners with an FHA-backed home loan to qualify for deferring or reducing their monthly payments for up to 6 months. That approval period runs now through February the 28th, and Max Zappia with the Minnesota Commerce Department says that deadline is important.
And there's an important distinction there between your application being submitted and approval. So frankly, any borrower who is experiencing financial difficulties paying their mortgage related to COVID should contact their mortgage servicer as soon as possible to review their options with them.
Finally, our Eric Tegetoff tells us Idaho's Governor Brad Little's work group to consider what to do about dwindling salmon numbers has wrapped up, as conservation groups and neighboring states say it's time for a regional approach.
Brett Vanderhoevel, head of Columbia Riverkeeper, says the warming climate is making it difficult for salmon and steelhead to navigate the Columbia and Snake Rivers. He says the fish are in a dire situation, and this issue can't be solved by a single state.
And I think that's why there's so much effort going in among the states and the federal government and tribal nations and interested people who rely on salmon, who care about salmon, to come up with solutions.
In October, the governors of Idaho, Montana, Oregon, and Washington signed an agreement to work together on recovery of salmon and steelhead in the region. Vanderhoevel says restoring salmon populations also is crucial for orcas in the Northwest.
This is Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported on great radio stations across the nation and online at publicnewsservice.org.